This little town ain't so little anymore.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to We Write Songs podcast. We have an awesome interview today lined up for you. We've been talking to the W Lovers. They are a folky Americana duo based out in Seattle, and we can't wait to get to know them a little bit more. So say hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks
for having us.
Yeah.
We're excited to be on the show. Thank you.
Yes, tell us a little bit about what you do.
So we're a husband and wife folk Americana duo. We're based in Seattle. We've been playing music full time for 4 years. We came together romantically first. I'm from New Zealand originally, came out to do my first North American tour and started up in Canada, and I'd rented an amplifier for those shows. And then I crossed the border on a bus. So I didn't want to have a bunch of stuff. I already had my backpack and my guitar, so I didn't want to have a bunch of stuff. So I'd rented the amplifier up there, and then I wanted to buy one for my American shows. My granddad lives down in Colorado, so my hope and plan was to buy an amplifier and then go down the West Coast playing shows and then go and stay with him. Mm-hmm. And so my first stop was Seattle, because that's the top of the country. And I went into Guitar Center to buy an amplifier, and Wesley was there and sold it to me and sold me on the American dream.
Love
at first purchase.
Yeah. Right. It was love before the purchase, actually. It was pretty dreamy, really.
Now, was that an expensive amplifier? Did he notice how much it cost?
You know what? It wasn't even the right amp. It wasn't what she came in for. It was just the next best thing.
And I think that's probably why I stayed so long in the store, because other than he was ridiculously handsome, because it wasn't the right amp. So we were like researching how to get this amp.
Yeah, I remember asking what your tour route was, trying to find one along the next stop.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is there one in Portland? Is there one in California? Is there one in Vegas? Is there one in Colorado? Nope. Nowhere to be found.
So he sold me this other amp. I'd gone in for this particular amp as well. Like, it was called a ZT Lunchbox, and I still have never played on one after all these years. But it was a Fishman amp he sold me, and I loved it. It was a little loud box, Fishman loud box, just a tiny little amp that was loud enough for cafes across the country.
Yeah, those are great.
And
pay us to say that either.
No, not at all. But it's part of our story, though. So it's got a little XLR out the back, so you can plug it into bigger systems and if you need to.
Yeah, it's a great DI. I've been using it on mandolin. When I have to use a pickup, I'll plug into that. Makes it sound pretty nice.
Yeah. It's not actually part of our stage setup now, really, at all, ever.
Yeah, I don't like using pickups. More on that later.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you met there. Did you finish your tour and then go back to Seattle?
Well, I went back to New Zealand.
Back to New Zealand?
Yeah.
We went to Skype land there for months.
We had to Skype, and then I came out here on a 6-month, like a business visa. And
to record then.
I came out here to record. Yeah, I sold immigration on, I'm coming to America to record my next CD. And they said, okay, that's what you do. So that's okay, great. But I really was coming to be with Wesley.
Yeah, we did record the CD. That's the first, that was the first experience in the studio with Fleur. We did that one at London Bridge. Well known for grunge, and it came out pretty grungy.
It is a pretty grungy, folky,
exceptionally folky, grungy thing.
Right in the middle. But it was quite cool, though, because both Wesley and I came from rock bands. So there was this huge transition point from both of our rock bands through this folky channel of that EP, my last solo CD, and then into what became the W Lovers. So there was this like weird grungy, folky kind of stepping stone to this Americana folksy world. I think that we've progressively got folkier as time's gone on.
Seems like a lot of people come out of that grungy phase into like the folk genre. There's like a lot of influence there, I think.
I think so too. But I mean, to be honest, for me, and people ask me who my influences are all the time with songwriting, and I think, well, I could say Pantera, but I don't sound anything like that. You know, like we take our influences from everywhere musically. But I think a lot of our writing comes from the life around us in terms of, you know, like what we'd base a song on. And in terms of genre, I don't know. There was never a switch that it flicked and I was suddenly from a punk musician to a folk musician. It just was always a gradual thing. And I don't know if I could sit down and be like, right, today I'm writing a punk song. I mean, I'm sure I could, but I don't think I'd enjoy it quite as much as the stuff that I'm producing at the moment.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So you all have a kid now, right?
Yeah, practically in college.
He
starts first grade this week.
So talk about that. How do you balance family life and life on the road?
So Phoenix has kind of grown up. I've got pictures of him when he was like 1.5 sleeping in my guitar case on the stage in Portland.
We don't really have to balance it. It balances itself. He gets it.
Yeah.
I think he gets it better than we get it. He did better than I did on tour.
What do you mean by that?
I think emotionally.
Right.
It's what we're doing and that's
it. Phoenix is like, he's an up for it kind of kid. So it's like, okay, today we're going to drive across here. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
Today we've got a radio interview. Okay. Today we're going to play this gig in this town. Okay.
I guess by that I mean a 16-hour drive wears me out, but he's fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there was one day that we did have an 18.5-hour drive. And actually we didn't have to, but it was the last day. And we'd had a gig cancel on us in Montana, which actually happened a ton this tour. We had a bunch of people pull out of our show agreements on like, you know, a day before we were supposed to turn up or something like that. It was awful. Mm-hmm. But on the last day when it happened, we're just like, let's go home. Let's go home now. It's funny because, you know what, we got home from that tour and we had Phoenix's birthday party and then we had a week of 7 shows and then the next week we had 8 shows. So no, not discouraged, because we knew that we'll get home and it's going to be busier than it was on this tour. It's funny, the tour was almost as much a vacation and checking out the country as it was work. It was we got to swim. I taught Phoenix how to swim without floaties in every hotel pool across America, you know. It was and it was nice. We got to try different foods and sit down and take our time, and here it's more of a rush and more of a hustle than it felt like on tour. This was a real chill tour. It was awesome. When you're in a foreign town that you haven't been to before, there isn't anybody, you know, maybe there's an interview or maybe there's, you know, the time you turn up. But outside of those things, there's what's in this town? What can I learn from this town? Or where's the history? Or, you know, and we had planned it with you know, like enough time that we, certain towns we had like 2 days in where we could actually play tourist. And I think that's important.
Definitely.
We didn't have a show in Wisconsin or Chicago, but we went up there. We had a couple of days off. So we got to, you know, be good parents on those days and do like the bookworm gardens and things like that. It was rad.
Did you find when you would go out and play tourist, did you find that helped you interact with your fans at the shows that you would play?
No, I feel, well, actually in Springfield, Ohio, we had a really cool case of that where we were there for 2 days. We'd played a gig on the Friday night and the people that we'd met there, because these were towns we hadn't been to before. So I think that we were as much making fans in those towns rather than, I should say we were making them rather than, you know, like reestablishing previous connections.
Yeah.
So people from the show on Friday night, like, well, come stay at our house if you don't know where you're staying. And we didn't, but we went and met them the next day and saw their koi pond. And next time, you know, maybe we'll go and stay with them, you know, and I love those connections. But I think for the most part, we kind of kept to ourselves on this tour because we didn't have, you know, like long lost relatives to meet up with or anything. Like, so I think now we've got some friends.
Yeah.
But we didn't previously. have friends in a lot of those towns.
Mm-hmm. One thing I've found interesting is when I go to watch a show and the artist has been kind of touring around my hometown or nearby, I kind of feel connected with them as they're up on stage, and they'll sometimes mention things that they've done and like, oh, I went to this football game and watched these two major college teams play each other. And then, you know, you get a pretty good reaction from the fans there. And I think that's a good way to connect with fans a lot of times, to show that you appreciate where they live.
That you've explored it.
Yeah, that you've explored it, that you've actually, like, taken the time to get to know the area. And I think that's a really good thing to do.
I think in every single one of our shows for this tour, the conversation with the audience was, where do we go? What do we do? You tell us. Because I think most of the times we'd turn up and we'd basically go straight to the show.
Yeah.
So if we had a day off, it always seemed to be the next day. So we got a lot of good recommendations from people.
They probably loved helping you out too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and everybody's proud of the town they live in, you know. Yeah, and they, you know, rather than asking Google, they've got the best suggestions. You know, Google can tell you don't go to this place because there's reviews or whatever, but the locals can say, actually, you should go there. Or
the food's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's really, really good to know. And for all those out there that have kids that are listening to this, it's definitely possible, right?
More than possible.
More than possible.
I think when Wesley was at the Guitar Center and told people I was pregnant, what was the, I mean, you should probably tell a reaction better than me.
I don't want to talk about that. Sorry. I was first and foremost jumping out of a full-time position in a management position in a retail establishment. Mm-hmm. I was met with resistance. And, yeah, there's not a lot of people that seem to believe in that dream, but I just had to keep believing and jump.
That's funny. I didn't realize that was a sore subject for Wesley, but it's one of those things I think that is important, because if people do think about having kids and being musicians, it is totally possible. And it was almost like more possible for us.
Yeah. I think
because we had a kid, we had to push to make it work.
And I took a class about a year ago now that we talked about that, how, you know, as you get older and you settle down a little bit, you know, in your family setting, as far as like having kids and everything, a lot of times people use that as an excuse to stop doing what they love and, you know, go find a management position at an established retail store, or find a job with benefits and, you know, in a 401k, but you don't have to. You can continue to pursue your dreams and not use those as an excuse to stop doing what you're doing, just because it might be a little bit safer or whatever the excuse might be. But it's good to hear from people that are living in that and are continuing to pursue their dreams, because there's a lot of people that either have given up or want to give up because they're in a similar situation as you, as far as raising a child and all that. So it's good to know that you can balance all that.
Yeah, I think, you know, it definitely pushed us harder. And way back when we were pregnant, and the idea of, are we going to go full time, or what are we going to do, or what kind of security are we going to have? All of those things sort of crossed our mind. But at the time for us, in particular, me being from New Zealand and all of the immigration the hoops that we had to jump through, I finally got my green card when I was 8 months pregnant. So I hadn't been allowed to work, and we were living off Wesley's income and living with his parents at the same time. So it was one of those things like, we're going to have to do something so we can get on our feet. And finally, the green card came, and as basically as soon as I could work, I wanted to. And I think we did a show like an online television thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was 38 weeks pregnant, which, so two weeks till my due date. And, you know, and then it's like, wow, I can work, so I'm gonna. So as soon as I was able, we were out. And I think, you know, by the Phoenix was born in August. By January, we had booked 3 shows. By February, we had booked 5 shows. March, it was 9 shows. And then from there, it just like, we just kept booking and kept booking and kept taking everything that we could. And at the time, it wasn't like making us money, but we were starting to become well rehearsed, you know, by playing all those shows. And then I think it was the following New Year's, after doing as many shows as we could that year, that we said, we're not going to do anything that's not paid. Mm-hmm. That's silly. So then the following year we made it a business thing. And then slowly, you know, like we started doing gigs for the love of it as well as trying to make a business out of it. But we had to do a ton of, you know, restaurant gigs and those sorts of things were paying our rent. And we were playing original songs as well, you know, throughout the process. We weren't a cover band. Mm-hmm. So finding the right gigs for us sort of took some time to carve out.
So let's talk about the album that you just came out with in June. I guess that's 2 months ago, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
How was it an EP? Was it a full-length album? What kind of music was it?
So it was a full-length album. It's called This Little Town. It's pretty folksy. It's Americana, I think, is the blanket term for it. We recorded it at Bear Creek Studio, which is in Woodinville, with a producer called Ryan Hadlock. And we'd wanted to work with him for forever. He's amazing. The studio is amazing. It's this big old barn. And
that sounds awesome.
It's cool. Yeah. And he's sort of, his most recent notable works are The Lumineers' first record or first big record and Brandy Carlile as well. Yeah. So he did wonders with working on our stuff. We basically went in and said, our first album was kind of a little bit country and a little bit ba-chicka-ba-chicka-ba-chicka-ba-chicka. And we wanted to strip that back and let the songs do the work, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And we said, we remember saying, like, for our first record, these are a bunch of folk songs, and having everybody come back at us and say, no, they're pretty country. Mm-hmm. And as the writers sort of going, okay, I haven't conveyed these songs properly then if I think that they're this thing. And so we played him the same sort of style songs, and he was like, no, I get you, they're folk songs. And then so he handed us his folk record, which we couldn't do by ourselves in our first album. So that was really cool, I think.
Oh, good.
It was kind of like stylistically, he turned what we thought we had into what we had, into, you know, exactly what we wanted.
Yeah. That's important when producing your album, is finding an engineer that's on the same page as you stylistically and, you know, genre or whatever. Being able to translate what you want into the final product, that's good.
Yeah. I think listening back to it, and he's actually sort of commented, you know, like a few months after, you know, you give it some space for listening because you've listened to it so much when you're recording it. But he came back to us a couple of months later, and I think he sent Wesley a message or posted on Facebook or something. This album's great. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. It was really cool, and it was really reassuring as well, because, you know, as songwriters, you have all kinds of doubts about, you know, you think you've done your best work every time you record something new, you know. But then there's this, like, the, well, is it? And I think as well, with it being so folksy, there's an air of Emperor's New Clothes about this record. It's very naked. It's very, it's just the song. You know what I mean? There's nothing about any of these songs that's overdone. There's not too much anything. And in fact, it's like, really? Is that you're just going to leave the song with just guitar and vocal and nothing else? Are you sure? Should there be drums? Are you sure there shouldn't be drums? Mm-hmm. You know? And so there was one song in particular that I was convinced should have been like way more. And he was like, no, hold it back. You know? And I was like, are you sure? Are you sure? Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, you just got to let it breathe. And listening back, I'm so glad that we let him make those calls, because the record is beautiful. I'm really happy to listen to it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, as far as like the funding of the album goes, we talked about this earlier before the show started, but tell the listeners how you kind of went about that as much as you want to tell them and maybe give them some advice for how you can do it.
Sure. We did Indiegogo crowdfunding. So basically roping in every mother, father, uncle, brother, friend from previous job, cousin from twice, you know, just everybody that we had met that had been to a show that says, you guys are great. We want to support you however we can. It was all of those people. And we said, you know how you said that? This is how. And all it is essentially selling them an album before the album's been made.
Yeah.
You know, so they're basically
like a pre-sale.
Putting in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then we went for this album, we went for 20 grand.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just like anything, there's going to be people that like, you can't raise 20 grand in 60 days. That's bananas. Yeah. Like, oh, no, I believe you, but I just don't believe you can do that. And then so it's just like, no, we're going to do it. Watch me.
And so, challenge accepted.
Yeah. So it was just, and it wasn't about proving a point to anybody. It was just about making this record happen and believing that we could.
Yeah.
You know, and we had to. It's, you know, I think it's silly when you come up with like, okay, well, cool. We've got this producer on board. Let's actually make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we asked people from all over the world to help us, and we asked, and I asked every day, and I was like, I know you're probably sick of hearing this, but please get on board. We're going to make this happen, and I can't do it without everybody that I know. So, so we just pushed and asked and asked and asked mm-hmm. and asked. Yeah.
That's such an important part of being a musician is networking, asking, mm-hmm. finding the right people to support you and supporting them back.
Yeah. There's great books on it. I know Amanda Palmer's got The Art of Asking. If you need inspiration in a video, she has a TED talk on it, which is a condensed version of her book, but the book's great too. I know that the We Write Songs podcast is on Patreon as well, and that's another really, really good it's slightly different to crowdfunding for a project because it's more ongoing, but I think that's kind of the future right there. Patreon's rad, getting people involved in something that is a regular thing.
Yeah, it's kind
because
of,
then
it's,
sorry
yeah it's kind of a like a VIP access to
exactly
content,
yeah.
Which people like. If they like you, then they're going to want more than what, and if you can offer more, then a lot of people will buy into that. And I don't mean that like in a greedy way. I just mean that like,
no, they like to support it.
It's quality content. And
champion the things that they love. We have people come up to us at shows all the time. They were like, by chance, I happened to catch this social media post that you posted about this gig, and here I am, but I haven't seen you guys posting or whatever. We're like, oh, we're posting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with algorithms and all of that kind of stuff, Patreon then comes in and it becomes that thing where you are emailing your fans and they're getting it direct. You know, there's no algorithm that means that they don't get it. If they want it, they can subscribe to it. Whereas with social media, you can like something or give it a thumbs up, but you're not seeing all the content all the time because of those algorithms. So I think Patreon's great to be connected.
It definitely is.
Yeah. We also like that you can support people without having to support an ad. And we kind of mentioned this earlier, but I don't know, whenever I hear ads in podcasts or videos or whatever, I just skim through because I don't really care. So it's nice with Patreon, and why we like using it is that you're not paying a company to support us. You're directly paying paying us and supporting
people that genuinely, people that genuinely care about what you are offering to the world are the ones that are supporting you.
Yeah.
It directs to the creator without a middleman is an amazing thing.
So we love Patreon. We love crowdfunding for funding your album. And yeah, did you guys end up reaching your goal of $20,000?
Yeah.
So great. Course.
Of course. I said I would and I did. But you know, like not I did it, but we did it and everybody did it. There was, you know, so many people involved. I think it was like 200 different people.
Wow.
Gave to it, which was awesome. And actually months later, the album came out in June and I still have bags that I need to send out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of, and you probably understand the summer thing here in America is like when it's summer season for musicians, it's, I can't wash my floors or clean my fridge or do anything because every day there's either a gig or something going on that we have to be at.
Festival.
We're off to a festival tomorrow and we have a show tonight. So it's kind of, you know, just every day there's something going on that that takes our time, which is hard being parents as well, trying to manage the, have I taken my kids swimming this week? And, you know, like, are we doing the things? And we read to our son every night, so I feel like we're good there. But are we stimulating him in terms of play dates and all of those things? And you can't do play dates on tour with his best mate, so it's all balance.
Well, we have a lot of stuff I want to ask you, but we may have to have you back on the show.
Yeah, we're almost at our half hour mark.
Well, we'd be happy to talk anytime.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. Tell us where everyone can find your music on all the platforms and everything.
So our website is thewlovers.com. We're on social media across the board. The music can be streamed on, I'm pretty sure, every platform that you go looking for it.
Everywhere.
You can purchase it everywhere as well.
Perfect.
And then YouTube, there's music videos. That's what we used Patreon for. We had a friend that was from Texas and he was living up here at the time making music videos. And we said to him, well, with this Patreon deal, if we can pay you this amount, you know, can we make however many music videos? And so he jumped on board. And so basically the money that we would get, we'd just be giving him. So I like that idea of art supporting other art.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we do with that is we have these earrings as part of merch that were made from our guitar strings, and there's a gal in North Carolina that makes them. And so it's whenever we sell a pair, you know, we can pass on the money to her that way. And we like that, like art, making art, creating art and supporting art and supporting other artists is a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like, I wanted to say like ads aren't that bad when we were kind of talking about the podcast, but when you're supporting other artists and small businesses, that's a really good way to keep people engaged and kind of give them a part of what you do and what you think is important in life.
Yeah.
I'm curious about your band name. I want to hear how you came up with your band name.
Oh yeah.
Well, there's a couple of different reasons. The most obvious is our last name is Wood, so W-O-O-D, and the W is for our last name. But we also live in Washington. There is a Sesame Street parody, not a parody, sorry. There's a Sesame Street video. You know how they do the letter of the day?
Mm-hmm.
So when the letter of the day was W, Bert and Ernie held a National Association of W Lovers meeting. And in there, they talked about all of the reasons why W was such a great letter. And there's a song. It's actually, we found it actually recently on, I think it was like Bert's Greatest Hits vinyl or something like that. And it's got all the Sesame Street songs that you've never heard. They're great. Some of them you've heard, some of them you've never heard. And the W Lovers song was like, dun, 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 dun. What is the letter we love? The letter we're very fond of. You know there's no trouble. You know it's a W when you go wah, 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 wah. but of course with Birch accents and such. And they go on to say, you know, without waffle, without W, waffle would just be awful.
That's a good remember point. When we were first starting out, we would tell people to look us up, and the first thing that would come up was the
National Association of W Lovers by Bert
and
Ernie.
And they're like, oh, what's still, we got to put some videos up here.
And still from time to time, we'll have people be like, oh my gosh, did you ever see this? Wow. It's like, yeah, no, that's totally.
Yeah, that's right.
Totally kind of where it came from.
That's awesome. I would have never thought that.
Well, now you have to look it up.
Yeah, I'm going to, that's exactly what I'm going to do after this. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you being on the show today, and we'll definitely have to have you come back because we want to know more about you.
Yeah, we scratched the surface.
Yeah.
Well, we would love that. Anytime's good for us.
Sounds great. Well, for those of you listening, make sure you go check out the W Lovers. Go listen to their music and give them a follow on social media. Keep up with their latest tours and albums and all the stuff that they got coming out in the future. Thanks again for being on the show, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Boring concrete where the roses used to grow. Little town I used to play in. Little town, you've lost your fight. Say hi.